My message this morning, which has been on my heart for a long time, well, several weeks anyway, before I was even asked to preach. And the title of the message is The Perfect Miracle. The Perfect Miracle. And from these verses, I hope that we will all be able to see that God has a perfect miracle. Who for? I mean, I'm interested. Who for? Well, for you and for me. And I believe it is in these verses that Bill read for us this morning. Wonderful verses. What's going to be perfect? Well, I expect you'd like a perfect body. I was thinking this morning of David Beckham. You know, the Charles Atlas of 2000, whatever year it is today, with all his physique, ability to play as he used to play, whether he still does, and I don't really know. Has he not bought a football team or something? Anyway, and his tattoos. Oh, man, aren't we jealous of David Beckham?
No.
I have a tattoo, you know. It was given to me by the surgeon at Withenshaw. No, this is not about a perfect body. As much as you would like it. And you ladies, you'd like a perfect body, wouldn't you? I was in John Lewis's yesterday. And I walked over to Boots deliberately because I knew it was going to happen. And all those areas, must be acres of land in Manchester alone, where they're selling, oh, the beautiful scents and the massages and how you ladies can be made. So your body is so beautiful and attractive and wonderful. And then I think, I'd like to take you with my wife and I on Wednesday. We're back to Kenya. And we should be visiting the two schools that we established some years ago now for disabled children. And when I was thinking about this perfect body, I remembered how the first of those schools, we had a selection panel. My wife was on it. I sat by the side. And the children that were brought for us to accept or reject, what terrible bodies they had. One of them walked on all fours, because in Kenya, the children that are disabled are rejected by the family and they're put outside into a shed or something like that. And this one had been put into a shed where there was a cow. And he saw the cow walking on all fours, and that's how he thought he had to walk. But I'll spare you coming to Kenya. No, it's not about a perfect body. Is it about a perfect mind? I'm sure we would all like to have a perfect mind. You watch that program, University Challenge? It blows your mind, the stuff that... I'm sure that there is one person here that can answer most of the questions. I'm not going to mention any name, anybody by name. But the rest of us, I think we'd be left behind, wouldn't we? And somehow, the older you get, the more imperfect your mind gets. You would think it would get better. But now, if I have to call up somebody's name, it's gone. If I had to call up an incident, it's the hardest thing that I can do, to call up an incident. I can't sometimes even remember what I had for my breakfast. Bible tells me in Romans chapter 12 that we get a new mind. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sounds good. But I still forget. I still can't answer those questions on university challenge and all the others. No, it's not a perfect mind. So where do we find this perfect miracle? What did Paul show us in the scripture? He showed us, if we're going to find the truth about this perfect miracle, we've got to go back to the beginning. It's good to start at the beginning. That's where Paul started, and that's where I want to start this morning. Lots of people, I notice, want to find out, how did it all begin? How did the universe begin? How did the world begin? Well, some believe that the world, listen to this, is 230 million years old. Shall I say it again? You won't be impressed if I say it again. 230 million years old. You say you're going to give us a science talk this morning? No, but you can't understand the perfect miracle, and you can't understand what Jesus has for you unless you start at the beginning, like Paul did. Others believe in the Big Bang, where somehow, some time ago, there was kind of an explosion of some kind. And all bits flew in all directions. We call them stars or whatever it is now. And because those stars are moving further away from us, the concept is that once they must have been with us, and the Big Bang sent them off. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm only giving you as the best I can. We want to find out how it all began. Other scientists said, well, it's always been there. Now, that doesn't seem very logical for a scientist to say it's always been there. Surely there must have been a beginning. There must have been a start sometime or another. No, no. They said it's always been there. And I noticed on the TV this week that in America, British scientists and American scientists are setting up an experiment. I don't understand it, but the idea is that they want to find out how it all began. And they're setting up some kind of tunnel or something. It's 400 miles long. Can you believe that? I don't think it's a physical tunnel the way that we would, I would see it. All to discover how it all began. But Paul tells us how it all began. I want to think for a moment of some of the great people who've made wonderful discoveries. And what was the key to their making these discoveries? Alexander Graham Bell. Does anybody know what he discovered? Alexander Graham Bell. Indeed, the telephone in 1876. The wretched thing has been around all that time. 1876 in the USA. What about Michael Faraday? He was a devout Christian. discoveries in electricity and in magnetism. Thomas Edison, an American inventor, mid-1800s to late 1800s, you know what he discovered? The light bulb. The light bulb. And I think he had motion picture camera as well. That man and the others, Alexander Fleming is another name, Scottish inventor, and he discovered penicillin, from which we get so many of our wonderful medicines today. Did those people happen to just see their discovery on the seashore, which some people suggest was the origin of you and me? Was there a big bang, and that's how their discovery suddenly popped out like that? No. They had wonderful brains, wonderful intelligence, wonderful powers of development and research. For instance, Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, he had over 1,000 patents registered. What a mind that man had. And what a mind these other great creators had. If it's true that those people had great minds and great abilities and great intelligence, how much more true it is that the creator of this world and the creator of the universe, with all the wonders, must be a mastermind. The height that you cannot imagine in intelligence, in an intellect. And we call him God. He is the creator. No one else. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says, by him, Jesus, he's talking about Jesus, by him all things were created. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. There has to be a first cause, however far back it is. And the Genesis, it has the answer. In John chapter 1, it reread, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created by him. By the way, the word there, the logos, is the original. It was a word known to both the Hebrews and the Greeks. And it meant intelligence. It meant a reasoning, able to reason. All things were created by him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. And Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. In these last days God has spoken to us through his Son, whom he made heir of all things, and through whom he created the universe. We know the beginning. We know who made everything. We don't need to set up tunnels 400 miles long. We don't need to spend hours speculating. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Does anybody know who Anne Graham is? Billy Graham's daughter. She says this I thought this was wonderful. If there was no creator, then you are a cosmic accident, having come from nowhere and on your way to nowhere. You are a nobody with no accountability and no eternal value. Then she goes on. I think she has a sense of humor. Her father has, of course. Your best hope of a future is a vase on somebody's mantel shelf. That's what she says. There has to be a perfect mind behind creation, and that perfect mind is God. Think, for instance, of the galaxies. We don't think of them very often. I could talk about the world, by the way, and the wonders, and I could take you on the journey we're going to take all the way down to Africa. All along, you could see the wonderful things of God's creation. But think for a moment. I was astounded. My brain blew when I looked into this. We are one part of one galaxy, commonly called the Milky Way. There are two kinds of galaxies, they tell me. There is a dwarf galaxy. How many stars in a dwarf galaxy? They estimate 10 million. I mean, we're talking about creation that God did, creation that Jesus did. 10 million stars in a dwarf. But what about the galaxy that's called a giant galaxy? Blows your mind. There are 100 trillion such galaxies, they believe. Enough of science. Enough of science. Paul says 5 wonderful things about Jesus in these verses. He is the firstborn. In other words, he was there before the beginning, eternal with God. Remember that. Remember all 5 of what I'm going to tell you. Secondly, he is the creator of all things. Thirdly, he's the one who maintains everything. How can you maintain all these galaxies? The Bible says they all follow in their course. Hallelujah. They all follow in their course. Fourthly, he's the head of the church. And finally, he is the first to rise from the dead. Stay with me. 5 things, I better put one hand down. 5 things he says about Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 27. He says, I am going to tell you a mystery. What do you mean by a mystery? Well, it tells you. A mystery here is not a magician or some of these people that we don't see much of them these days, do we? You know, they pull an egg out from behind your ear. That's not the mystery you talk about here. The mystery here is something that has been hidden through all the ages, but has now been revealed. I think you'll find that is in verse 27 our scripture reading this morning. Let me turn it up. The mystery that has been kept hidden for the ages, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. What is this mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. You say, I find it very hard to understand. I can't see that to be. You've been building up this picture about Christ as a creator. All the world. That blows my mind. The creator of every animal, the creator of every human being, the creator of the mountains, the creator of the seas. Yes, the winds, you go on. But these billions, that's why I did it. That's why I gave you a scientific side of the issue this morning. The billions, billions and billions of creations far beyond into space. We can't even imagine it. They talk in terms of light years to get to the furthest star. And yet, he says that Christ is the mystery which has now been revealed, which is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. No, you say, that couldn't happen. That couldn't happen. No, couldn't happen. Anybody here celebrate Christmas? Yeah, you get your turkeys in and you put your trees up and you hang your lights. What happened at Christmas? God came down to man. If that is Christmas, why is it hard for us to accept this wonderful miracle, Christ in you, the hope of glory?